भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः. श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22. काये काये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते काये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहर्त्विगाचार्य सदस्य एतत् सहर्त्विगाचार्य सदस्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् Translation. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudevak sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. Matsthani sarvabhutani nachahang teshvavastitaha. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, He has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitavada. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaitavada. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achinta bheda bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observe the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees. Here, continuing the story of the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva and his wonderful this pastime of chastising Bali Maharaj. In the previous verse, we've saw that Vamanadeva started to increase in size after being offered 3 steps of land by Bali Maharaj. Vamanadeva began to increase in size and placed his 1 foot very solidly in the Patala Loka, lowest planetary system, the very bottom of the universe. And and now he's beginning to extend his other foot to the topmost reaches. So his two steps will be complete, and everything within the universe will be there within his 2 steps. All the possessions of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the ruler of the entire universe. So with 2 steps, Vamanadeva is in the process of taking all those possessions away from him. And then he's going to ask where he can put his 3rd step that's to come. But in this verse, the Vamanadeva is exhibiting the universal form. Inside this form, inside this form that Vamanadeva is manifesting, all the planetary systems are there, all the living entities, all the modes of nature, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and ego, all the living entities, gross matter, everything is within this form. And, of course, that's not very wonderful in itself, because the Supreme Personality of God contains everything within him. But the point that's being made in this verse is that Saha Ritvik Acharya Sadasyaha. Everyone who was present, not just Bali, saw this wonderful universal form with all these material elements and planets and senses and sense objects and all these wonderful things. Not just Bali Maharaj saw, but it says, Saha, together with the priests that were present, the Ritvik. Ritvik means priest. And the acharyas, all the Brahmins, or the acharyas, they're the leaders of the people, they saw. And not only that, but it says sadasyaha. Sadasya means just every member of the assembly, without exception, saw this wonderful form with all its features. And so we can understand that these members present, they had some qualification. This is to be able to see the universal form. Arjuna said, you have to give me special eyes to see. So Krishna gave Arjuna special eyes to see the universal form. And Arjuna was completely overwhelmed with that vision of the universal form. But we can see that here, Vamanadeva is given the same benediction to all the members present. And this is not an assembly of demigods. It's an assembly of demons. So he was giving great benediction to these demons. It's not an ordinary thing. But we can also understand that many people were observing this. The demigods in their hiding places. Demigods were very afraid of Bali Maharaj and the demons, because Bali Maharaj was very powerful. He had defeated them all and taken over the heavenly planets. So the demigods in their hiding places, they're also watching what's going on. And Lord Vamanadeva, he is reciprocating with each member of the assembly, all those who are observing the activities going on. He's reciprocating with them according to their adhikar, according to their qualification. Just like when Krishna entered the Kamsa's sacrificial arena for the wrestling match, all the residents, all the Maturavasis, they were sitting in the assembly and they were watching Krishna. And Krishna manifested differently to each one present. To his mother and father, he appeared just like their beloved son. To the pious, he appeared like the great benefactor. And to the but to Kamsa, he appeared like death personified. So similarly here, you can imagine the different reactions that the members of the assembly are having to this, all of a sudden, this little dwarf growing and growing and growing and occupying the whole universe, and all the universal elements are present. You can imagine the demigods in their hiding places are overwhelmed with unmitigated glee, happiness, that they're being delivered. They can see that they're going to be delivered by Lord Vishnu. He's taking care of them, taking care of their needs. And Shukracharya can imagine what he's seeing. This is the fulfillment of his prediction, his worst fears manifest, that his prediction that no, don't give 3 steps of land. If you do that, he'll take everything. And for a priest of a very wealthy ruler of the whole universe, you can imagine what a fortunate position he was in. Shukracharya was in materially. He was the priest of Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj ruled the whole universe. Practically speaking, he was the top man. So all you can see this whole life being taken away. He's going to be just Bali Maharaj being reduced to a pauper. And he's going to be left without a job. So, can imagine the experience he's having. And similarly, all the associates of Bali Maharaj there in the assembly, they're also able to see. Vamanadeva wants to impress upon them that this is the end of your fun, of your good time, of ruling over the universe. And that and he's teaching every, and in the course of this pastime, he's going to teach them all a very good lesson that Bali Maharaj did the right thing by washing the feet of Vamanadeva and offering him 3 steps of land. And then, so what is Bali Maharaj, what is he experiencing at this point in time? Bali Maharaj is, you can imagine, he just was given a very, very big test by Krishna. He's very qualified. Bali Maharaj is very qualified. He's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, ruler of the whole earth. But he learned from Prahlad Maharaj about the importance of service to the Brahmins. And he imbibed this principle very seriously, that one should serve the Brahmins. One should not, and truthfulness, one should not break one's promise to a Brahmin. He's promised 3 steps of land. And even though Shukracharya was telling him, no, don't do it. You won't be able, he said, he didn't tell him exactly don't do it. He said, you won't be able to do it. Because with 2 steps, you'll take away everything. You'll have nothing left to give him. And you will have broken your promise in any case. In any case, your promise will not be fulfilled. So, better not to agree. But he didn't care for that instruction. He paused for a minute. He thought very carefully. My spiritual master is telling me like this. My Chaita Guru is telling me something different. Shastra is telling me something different. It's not right. I have principle. My life should be based upon principles. And even though this Brahmin boy that's coming before me, even though he's cheating, right? Vamanadeva's, he's like cheating, that he's pretending to be just a dwarf Brahmin boy and actually he's Vishnu. He's taken on some disguise in order to take away my possessions. Even still, he said, no, he's a Brahmin. I should fulfill my promise. So, even if he takes Bali Maharaj's thinking, he's taking away everything of mine. This is very good. If he's Vishnu and he's taking away everything, then I can only be benefited. This is only for my ultimate good. So Bali Maharaj is feeling very, very happy. He doesn't know what the future is going to be. He has no idea what will happen after Vamana takes his three steps, he has no idea what his future will be in, will, is, has in store for him. But he's completely peaceful, that he knows he's living his life based upon principle. He's accepting a principle, he's following that principle, and he has confidence that he will be, that the Lord will take care of him. So we can imagine Bali Maharaj is feeling some great happiness seeing all his possessions taken away. So Bali Maharaj rejected this instruction of his guru. But he didn't reject the guru totally. His guru had also told him to follow the scriptures, to worship Brahmins. So he was following the religious principles he learned from his gurus. He said, this one instruction is not right. It doesn't agree with the other instructions I'm receiving from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Says, therefore, I cannot follow it. So ultimately, we're responsible for our actions. Just because we come to the Krishna consciousness movement and we accept a spiritual master, it doesn't mean that we give up our personal responsibility. We're still ultimately responsible to Krishna that we behave, we live our life properly. We're not blind followers. That yes, I'm just following the order of my Guru Maharaj. We should follow the order of the Guru Maharaj, but we should also understand very, very deeply the order of Guru Maharaj. We can't just take it superficially. We can't just imagine some meaning. It's very dangerous. Can be very dangerous to the spiritual life if one just thinks that he understands perfectly well the order of the spiritual master. It's not an easy thing. One has to be qualified. Without proper qualification, one can't actually follow the order of the spiritual master. If one is not properly qualified, then he'll misunderstand. He may think that he's following the order of the spiritual master, but if he's not properly qualified disciple, then he'll misunderstand and he'll follow something else. We have to understand very deeply what is the mission of the spiritual master. And the order of the spiritual master that we receive should be seen in the context of the mission, the overall mission. We can't can't speculate. Oh, Guru Maharaj must mean this. He must mean this. Even though everyone else is, all my God brothers are saying something else, I think I know better. No, no, Guru Maharaj meant this. He may have, but you have to be qualified. You have to qualify yourself to understand perfectly. And how do you qualify? By following the basic instructions. Chanting the holy name. Attending the programs, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees. This is how we become qualified. Srila Prabhupada said that if you think that you can become Krishna conscious outside the association of devotees, then you're living a hallucination. So we should very much deeply meditate on the instructions of the spiritual master. That instruction is like a rare treasure that we keep very tightly locked up in our heart, never to let it go. And we should constantly be looking to understand better and better how to understand that instruction. Constantly reading Srimad Bhagavatam, seeking out the association of advanced devotees, chanting the holy name very seriously, worshiping the deity with love, following all the practices of Krishna consciousness very seriously. And praying very deeply to the spiritual master, Krishna and the spiritual master, to please give the proper realization. Not just lexical, graphical understanding of the instructions of the spiritual master. I better explain that term. Bhaktisiddhanta used that term when he was describing, he's describing the teachings of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that many, many people, they say that they understand the instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Says, but they only understand from a lexicographical perspective. Says, actually, they don't understand one word of the instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In other words, lexicographical means according to the dictionary meaning of the words. You don't take the instructions of the spiritual master just according to the dictionary. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, that's what it means. Okay. No, no, no. You have to understand the context in which they're given, the context of the entire mission of the spiritual master, in the context of the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the context of the society of devotees, in the context of the time, place, and circumstance in which we have to carry out our work. All these things have to be taken into consideration. And then we can understand the order of the spiritual master. just like Bali Maharaj, was tested Shukracharya told him, don't follow this. You made this promise. Don't confirm it. Don't confirm that promise. Don't wash the feet of Bali Maharaj and offer him the three steps of land. This was a test. Test from Krishna. He thought very carefully. And he decided the best thing to do. So we will also be tested. Don't think that this Krishna consciousness process is child's play, easy. You just get up in the morning, you do what you're told, and you go to bed at night, and then everything's okay. No, it's not like that. We have to be intelligent. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be very serious. We have to consider from many angles of vision. We have to distinguish good association from bad association. And this, we should remember this lesson of Bali Maharaj rejecting the order of Shukracharya. It's very, very important instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam that we'll also be tested like that. We'll have to pass that test. And if we're very fortunate, then we'll pass. Not like Bhakti Shastri test, huh? Radha Dutti Prabhu. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Questions, comments? Braj Bihari Prabhu. Microphone?
Hare Krishna. Can you elaborate on the taking the meaning of the spiritual master instruction, the context, a little more elaboration, some example, some. Can you elaborate on the, just you mentioned about that you have to take the order of the spiritual master to the context.
I thought I did. Yeah. Yeah, I thought I elaborate. You want to give an example?
Yeah, yes.
Do you want to give an example?
I want you to give an example.
No examples are immediately coming to mind. Sorry. Another question was here.
Thank you, bro. Just one question was that, wasn't that appropriate that a pure devotee or Mahajana ruling the universe instead of Karma Mishra Bhakta, because Vamandev took the possessions of Bali Maharaj and gave it to Indradev.
Everyone understand the question? Is he asking that it's from the comment on that, or is he asking on what? Why did Vamanadeva take the universe away from a devotee and give it to a Karma Mishra devotee, a pure devotee, and give it to a Karma Mishra devotee? That's the question. It's a very good question. Ultimately, this pastime is there to glorify the devotee. That's the purpose of this. That Indra rules the universe is also Krishna's desire. He also wants the demigods to be in charge of the universe, because they're organizing the universe for the ultimate benefit of everyone. That's Indra and the demigods' work, to very nicely organize the universe so everything is nicely arranged, so that the normal process of progress can take place in orderly fashion. Bali Maharaj was a devotee, a pure devotee, Mahajan, but he was a demon. So his associates were not so pure. So Vishnu, and it's Vishnu's job to protect the demigods. So the demigods, they approached Vishnu, please help us. So simultaneously, he fulfilled his promise to always protect the demigods, the devotees, and he also simultaneously protected Bali Maharaj by glorifying him, saving him from that situation, putting him in a much better situation, as you'll see as the pastime unfolds, and glorifying him as a great Mahajan, that he was able to give up the whole universe, ruling of the whole universe, for the principle of worship of the Brahmins. So he accomplished many, many purposes. And we should not resent Indra ruling the universe. We should not think ourselves, oh, he's just a Karma Mishra Bhakta. He's actually a very great devotee. But there's some, well, of course, different Indras come at different manvantaras. Different Indras are coming. Some are, you know, different. They're different levels of advancement. So we don't know. We don't know so much about the particular Indra here in this particular manvantara. We don't know so much about that. But by responding to the prayer of the demigods to protect them, Lord Vishnu is establishing the religious principle that everyone should depend on Krishna, on Vishnu. Everyone should, in distress, you should approach Vishnu. Akamak sarvakamova mokshakamo daradi tivrena bhakti yogeda yajeta purushang pranam. So this is, if one has all desires or no desires, or desires liberation, whatever one desires are, one should worship Vishnu. So Vamanadeva is establishing that principle also. He's glorifying the demigods because they did the right thing. They approached Vishnu for help. So he's rewarding them. Actually, he's rewarding them, but not as much as he's rewarding Bali Maharaj. So he's accomplishing many purposes. And we don't hold a grudge against Indra. He's also a very important personality in the scheme of affairs. The demigods also have an important role to play. Not everyone can immediately come to pure devotional service. So they also need to be, they need to have an orderly universe so that they can progress gradually to that point. Good question, thank you. Another question? Yes. Microphone back here.
He's asking that there are 9 different processes of devotional service. Other are seems to be little easier than following or surrendering everything to the Lord. So how to get that mood of Atma Nivedanam?
Why Atma Nivedanam is the most difficult? That's your question. Bali Maharaj is the example of that, Atma Nivedanam. Yes. Yes, that's a good point. He was making a statement, right? Basically, I agree with you. It is the most difficult. Bali Maharaj did the most difficult thing by surrendering. I agree. How to get that mood in our life? There's only one way. We have to associate with those who have that mood. There's no other way. Srila Prabhupada, he's attempting to establish a society of pure devotees. Pure devotee means that someone who at least, in this sense, pure devotee means someone who at least theoretically is accepting that devotional service is its own reward, that one doesn't do devotional service in order to get material reward. Someone who accepts theoretically that bhakti is only for the pleasure of Krishna, he's considered to be a pure devotee. So you should seek out as much as possible the association of such pure devotees. Because a pure devotee will have that mood of Atma Nivedanam. They have no interest other than service to the Lord. So by associating with them, then that mood will come to you. That's all. There's no shortcut. No pill you can take. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to know when Bali Maharaj gave up everything. Was it bhakti or was it his ego? Because we can imagine that he was such a great king, He was sitting in between all his subjects and all the great people of the world, of the universe. And now if he goes back on his word in front of a small child, his position is, it goes, in fact, you know, lower than, he has no position at all. So what option did he have? He had no option. I think Lord Vishnu put him in such a situation. He had no choice. How can he go? He is the undisputed king of the whole universe. And if he goes back on his word, then what stand does he have in the universe? So even if he does not give up his kingdom, he is nowhere. So, and he's a demonic person, and demonic person has a huge ego.
He had a very intense desire to. He was thinking, even if this is Vishnu, he says, then let him have everything. He wasn't just thinking, calculating materially. He wasn't just calculating materially. Yes, if I do this, then I'll... He didn't care for his prestige. He didn't care for his possessions. He said, if this is Vishnu and he wants everything from me, fine. That was his mentality. That's why it was bhakti. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, smaranam para sevanam, archanam vandanam, dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam, iti pung sarpata, vishnum bhaktis chain navalakshana. If these things, these nine things, if they're done in relationship, iti pung sarpata, Vishnu, if they're offered to Vishnu, that's bhakti. So he surrendered everything to a Brahmin boy. Actually, he was surrendering three steps of land to a Brahmin boy, but he understood from Shukracharya that three steps of land could be everything. He was prepared. He said, if that's Vishnu and he wants to take everything from me, fine. So that was bhakti. It meets the definition. That's the definition of bhakti. The minimum definition of bhakti is that verse where two verses from Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, smaranam parasevanam, archanam vandanam, dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam, iti pung sarpita, Vishnu, bhaktish chain navalakshana. These are the nine symptoms of bhakti, if they're offered to Vishnu. So that is the definition.
He was not showing any other symptoms. The only symptom he showed was he's giving up everything, and in that situation, he had no choice.
He had a choice. Certainly, he had a choice. He had his spiritual master telling him, "Don't do it."
But he had a demonic ego also, where he had to maintain his image.
But he gave up that ego in a minute. That's the glory of Atmanivedanam. Whatever ego he had, he gave it up completely. He gave up. That was the third step. That was the third. The two steps took away everything. He said, "Well, where am I going to put my third step?" He said, "On my head. Take my ego also." That was the glory. That was his total surrender.
Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktar.